worship music.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on the Refresh Radio broadcast on behalf of Merit Assembly of God. We want to thank you for tuning in today. And if you would, I'll just say this right off the bat. If you'd be praying for me today, it is a day where my body is getting some repair work done on it. And so I'm thankful that at the end of the day, I've got a spirit-filled Christian that is working on me. And so I'm very thankful for that and looking forward to some of the sources of pain in my body being taken care of. And hey, if we get in there and Jesus has already healed that thing, you will be hearing about it, I assure you. So we are very thankful for, by the way, the man who is working on it is a listener to the radio program, and so we're thankful for that. Also want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andriak, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you need some work done on your AC unit here in the central part of the county, give Bill a call, and he can help you get fixed up and stay cool. When I was working retail, I considered, even though my salary wasn't much, I did figure that the air conditioning that I got to work in, I considered that part of my benefit package. And so we really really want to make sure that everybody stays safe out there. My wife and I, when we first came to Merit Assembly of God, we were living in part of the building, and it had no air conditioning in it. We made it until about July. Like that, we moved in January, made it till about July, and then my wife said, we are changing this situation today, and we did. So we want to just encourage you, if you need some help staying cool, call Bill at 759-3284. So I will be getting some work done on my physical body today. You'd be praying for that. I do have a wonderful guest speaker that is coming in that is going to be filling in for us on Sunday. We also have what we call our fifth Sunday potluck dinner. Instead of having a Sunday night service, we're going to be gathering together, having a wonderful meal. I guarantee you that you will not find a better variety of food than what you will find at our potluck dinner on Sunday right after the service. And besides that, you don't have to leave a tip either. There's not going to be a bill afterwards. So we do encourage you, if you're going to come and you'd like to bring one of your favorite dishes, we would enjoy partaking of that with you on Sunday afternoon. Let's get into the Word today. We're going to be talking, and we're going to be in Genesis 44 for the most part. And I will be honest with you, I do not know the motivation for Joseph in this particular chapter. I don't know what was going through his mind. I don't know what he was thinking. I just know what he did and the anxiety that it created. And but I also know the result that came about as a result of this. So let's look. I want to read in the end of verse number 34 of chapter 43, and it said, so they drank and were merry with him. That was his brothers as they were eating around Joseph's table. Chapter 44, verse number 1, and he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing.'" So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house with whomever of your servants it is found? Let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves." And he said, "Now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless." Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." Then Judah came near to him and said, "O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my Lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him.' And he said, and we said to my Lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die.' But you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more.' So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord, and our father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, "Surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now then, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, "If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers, for how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?" Chapter 43 ends with the banquet that the brothers were having with Joseph. If you remember, they had approached that particular setting with anxiety because they thought that they were going to be arrested. They thought they were going to be enslaved. But instead, Joseph had prepared a banquet for them. And it said there that after he had made the provisions, that they drank and they were merry with him. I want you to know that it is God's desire not to have a legal relationship with you, although that is part of the aspect, but that he has a enjoyable relationship with you. There are some people who are so afraid of enjoying the things that God has provided that they do not allow themselves the privilege of the joy of the Lord operating in their life. You've heard me say it on here before that a lot of Christians go around looking like they have been baptized in lemon juice or that they're the first church of the lemon suckers. You know, they just go around and they're angry and they're mad and they're frustrated all of the time. And I want you to know that God wants you and I to be able to partake of his word and partake of his presence and enjoy the relationship that we have with God. How long has it been since you experienced the joy of the Lord? I want to encourage you to, if you will, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Understand that he is for you, that he loves you, and that it is not just a legalistic relationship. It's not just a contract relationship, but he actually enjoys your presence. And for you and I, we need to realize that the word of God says in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. So today, I'm not approaching this day with fear and dread. I am approaching it knowing that God holds me in the center of his hand, that he has good things in store for me, and that there are going to be capabilities that are restored to my body today that I have not been able to function with. So enjoy the presence of the Lord. When you go to church this Sunday, prepare your hearts with joy. Go ready to enjoy the experience that you have with God. So, that brings us to chapter 44. Chapter 44 is a setup. It is a sting operation that Joseph has set up, and the only thing that I can conclude is that he is so desirous of his relationship with his youngest brother, Benjamin, that he will do anything to get Benjamin there. This sting operation that Joseph puts in place with his steward creates a great deal of anxiety. It also births a substantial amount of evidence that the brothers have had a change of heart since that time that they had taken Joseph, beat him, and threw him in a pit, and then sold him into slavery. There has been a change in the brothers' demeanor and their behavior. So I'm not going to go over too much. I will just tell you this, that Joseph has his steward put his silver cup into Benjamin's sack. All of the brothers' money has been restored to them. Why they would not have learned from their first trip when they went back, that they got home and all of a sudden they realized that all of their money had been restored. I don't know about you, but if that had been me, I would have been, as soon as we had gotten out of Egypt, I would have been examining the sacks to see if there was anything in there that wasn't supposed to be in there. I drove a car one time that had a coolant issue. It was actually when we were moving to Florida. This was quite some time ago, and so I was checking the coolant because we'd had a radiator issue, and every once in a while I would just stop just to check and make sure that there was not a problem with the issue. I want to encourage you today that if you have had some things that happened in your life that you weren't sure how exactly they all came to pass. Maybe they were some negative things. Maybe they were positive things. I want you to take that opportunity to learn from that and say, okay, let's take an assessment of the situation. Let me just put a hypothetical here. If you found yourself, even though you were in a relationship with Jesus, but you found yourself doing some things that were below the standard of operation that Jesus would be pleased with in your life, I want to ask you to reflect upon that situation and look and say, what were the steps that led up to that very poor decision? And then I would like you to look at yourself, look in the mirror, look in the Word and say, okay, let's take inventory. Are there things that are taking place right now that that I recognize they led up to a bad encounter the last time, and I don't want to go around that mountain one more time. I don't want to end up in that pit again. I want to make a decision right now that I'm going to take inventory. So I want to encourage you to do what the brothers didn't do, and that is stop on the journey where you're at and ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life, is there anything that I have done repeatedly in the past that I'm currently doing now that is going to lead me to an action that I'm not going to be pleased with in the end result? And I just encourage you to do that. The reason that I say that is because as a pastor, I have the privilege and the responsibility of watching over people's souls, and I can begin to look in at their life many times and see that they are where they're at on their journey. And if it continues to progress, I can see what's going to happen, not in a prophetic manner, but just because of the pattern of behavior in the past. God wants to break old patterns in your life and establish new patterns. Amen. I'll amen myself on that this morning. So there the brothers are. The steward shows up. They have this encounter, and the cup is found in Benjamin's sack, and so everybody races back to Joseph, and Joseph says to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, what shall we say, my lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Remember that there were no eyewitnesses other than the brothers and the traders that bought Joseph that really knew all of the facts that had taken place. And Joseph remembered, the brothers remembered, and they bore that guilt. And now they make this declaration to Joseph, and they said, God has found out the iniquity of your servants. I do need to let you know that God did not just find out anything today. He has known the condition of my heart and the condition of your heart. He has known our iniquity. He has known our hostilities towards him, and he loved us anyway. If we think that we are keeping a secret from God, we deceive ourselves. God knows the end, the beginning, and every step of the process in between. But I pray, I am so thankful that we are in the New Testament and we have access to the throne of grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, because I'm telling you, these brothers are still living with the guilt of the things that they did decades before. They are carrying that around. They are still being productive people in society. They are still transacting business. There has been some transformation in their attitudes, but they did not have access to the blood of Jesus the way that we have access to the blood of Jesus. And so they're carrying around this guilt for decade after decade after decade. And if that is you, if that's the person that I'm speaking to this morning, I want to let you know that Jesus knew your sin and went to the cross and shed his blood for your sin so that you did not have to carry around that grief and that heartache and that sorrow. And he came and paid that price so you could be forgiven, created in a new as a new creation, and going forth without blame. I just felt a quickening in my spirit that there may be somebody that is listening right now, and either you compelled someone to have an abortion or you had an abortion earlier in life and you are still carrying around the guilt of that. And I want you to know that Jesus paid the price for that sin as well. And he doesn't want you going around every day carrying around the burden of that guilt. If I can, I want to share with you the testimony of Saul, who stood there giving consent unto the martyr of Stephen. And not only that, he was going around arresting the saints and forcing them to blaspheme. He was a persecutor of the church. I believe he was one who was operating in zeal, but he became drunk on the blood of the saints and lost his bearings. And yet, because of the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus, he was able to write in the Word of God that he was free from the blood of all men, because he was going out sharing the love of Jesus. He was willing to give up his life. He considered himself the chiefest of sinners, but as the chiefest of sinners, he was forgiven. So I want you to appreciate today the forgiveness that Jesus has made available to you. But in verse 17, it said, "But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." And so what Joseph is saying is, I'm not going to do as you say. You all just go on back to your father. Now, if I can, let me tell you their first attitude back when they were dealing with Joseph, and that is they knew that Joseph was their father's favorite, and they took him away from their father Jacob, and they went home, led him to believe a lie, draw incorrect conclusions, and they had lived for all of these years, and now they are at this point where Jacob's newest favorite, Benjamin, is going to be taken away from him as well. And Joseph says to them, go up in peace to your father. Go up in peace. And Judah says, I can't do that again. I cannot live that lie. I cannot bring that sort of grief to my father. I've got a note that I wrote down here, and that is this: what is valuable to the father should be valuable to us. And Judah has gone through a transformation in his heart. And now he realizes, even though parents should not have favorite kids, that he cannot just go back to his father as if everything was normal. He can't just take Simeon back and leave Benjamin behind. He says, I can't do that. Things are not going to end well for me. They're not going to end well for my father if I go back to my father without Benjamin. And so he begins to rise up as a voice, and he says, he begins to describe everything that had gone on with Joseph. And in verse number 29, "But if you take this one also from me and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. I am so thankful that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And today, I would just like to challenge those who are listening and with this question. Have you given any consideration to what the life of God is bound up in? The life of God is tied up to redeeming the lost, finding the wandering stray, healing that which is broken, setting the captives free. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He has no favorites. He has all favorites. And his life, he came and sacrificed it so that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. And we need to realize how important the lost are. We need a fresh revelation from heaven that demonstrates to us God truly values those who are still trapped in their sin. We can't just go on our merry way and say, well, praise God, I'm saved. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My wife's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. She's going to heaven. My kids and my grandkids and all of that sort of stuff. All of my family is saved, and therefore I've got no problems. We need to realize that Jesus was willing to walk away from the 99 to find the one which was lost. I pray that God would birth in us, that he would birth in us a true desire to be one who carries the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what? You and I suffer very little risk here in America. I'm not saying it's without risk, but it's very insubstantial compared to other parts of the world where we can share the love of Jesus with someone and they have the possibility of getting saved. On Sunday, my daughter shared a testimony. A friend of hers went on her very first missions trip. And while she was away on her missions trip, she led someone to Jesus. And within a short period of time, that person that she led to Jesus was over talking to four or five other people trying to lead them to Jesus. I don't know what church that lady goes to, but I'll tell you, that is what happens when there is life in the kingdom of God. When we step out in faith, Jesus takes that seed, he redeems someone's life, and a whole chain reaction of salvations can occur. Father, I pray today that we would realize that your heart is for the lost. And I pray, God, that we would be about the Master's business. God, I pray you'd be with me today and heal my body. And God, we just give you the glory. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."